Luke 1:5 says this, everybody have it say that.
Amen.
There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child because of Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to shew thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out and could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Amen. They're going to blast the show far. We want you to give the Lord, amen, praise for his word this morning. Hallelujah. We bless you. You may be seated today. And if the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this thought, simply finding your voice. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, finding your voice. Amen. Finding your voice. Praise God. The book of Luke begins with the narrative of the birth of John the Baptist, the first four verses, amen, tells how Luke is writing on behalf of Theophilus, amen, and declaring unto him all of the words in the book of Luke, because it is what had been heard, and he was verifying and making sure that he knew that all of this had in fact happened. And then verse 5 begins the narrative, amen, surrounding the birth of what we know as John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus and the prophesied forerunner of his earthly ministry. So we know Elizabeth and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were both, they were cousins, and that made Jesus and John the Baptist cousins. They were 6 months apart in their age and in their conception. Amen. And so his mother was Elizabeth and his father was Zechariah. Amen. And the Bible says that both of them were righteous in his God's sight and they were living without blame. So for this time, we could say that they were as faithful as they come. Have you ever known anyone, amen, that you saw faithful in, amen, as an integral part of their character, and you would say of them, they are as faithful as they come. Amen. And so we can look at them and say, amen, that they followed the Lord's commandments. They lived unto the Lord. Their lives were a life of worship and reflection of God. Amen. Zacharias was a priest. Amen. In the temple of the Lord. And so It says they were without blame. That's a lot to say, amen, in that time in which they were living, amen. Yet they were faithful and they were righteous and they were as faithful as they come, but yet their lives were met with daily heartache, amen. Each day that Elizabeth, amen, in her life would go out to the market, or Zacharias would make his way to the temple to perform his duties when he became, amen, a priest. Every day that they would make their way into the public, we are sure that they would pass groups of children being reminded of what they did not have. The Bible says that they were without children because Elizabeth was barren. And by the time that the narrative that Luke is giving us, they were both well stricken in years. And so they were at this time older. Amen. I want you to understand this morning that even the righteous will suffer hardship in this life. Don't let the enemy make you believe that just because you serve the Lord, amen, that there will not be hard times and there will not be things that you will suffer as a faithful one unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so the righteous, amen, suffer, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Amen. So Zacharias, they lived in the time during the reign of Herod in Judea. He was a priest of the division of Abijah, amen, where he served God and he prayed with faithfulness. Amen. You got to keep that in mind. Amen. He served and he prayed with faithfulness. And we see here in this narrative that our sufferings are not always indicative that something is wrong in our relationship with God. How many times does the enemy come and he will tell you when things begin to get disrupted, when things begin to get out of sorts, when things begin to become chaotic and circumstances begin to shift and we see that things are not going right. Many times the enemy will tell us, amen, that there's something wrong in our relationship with God. We're not talking about that aspect this morning because the Bible tells us, amen, that Zacharias and Elizabeth both, but Zacharias was faithful. And he prayed faithfully, amen, and he served faithfully, praise God, yet, amen, he suffered in his lifetime because, amen, the longing to have a child, amen, was not fulfilled. See, oftentimes we will conclude that God is angry with us when we're going through difficulties or when we're going through seasons of pain. We will, amen, conclude that God must be angry with us. But let me remind you this morning that when we are in the grace of the covenant of God and Jesus is Lord of our lives, when our hearts are postured vertically, when we are in the right focus, when the motives of our hearts are in the right place and we seek to please the Lord. I'm not saying that we won't trip, we won't stutter, we won't fall, we won't fail, but when our hearts are in the right place, we get back up, amen, and because of Jesus and the propitiation and the justification and the Holy Spirit, we bypass the judgment seat of God and we move directly to the throne of our Father Creator, amen. So God's plan is not to be angry with us. So just because we suffer pain and we go through seasons of difficulty, do not get the mindset that God is punishing you. Jesus took all the punishment and condemnation for our sins. Listen, praise God. We are not sinners because we sin. Amen. Because we are born into sin. We sin because we were born as sinners. Are you hearing me? Amen. We don't sin because we're sinners. We sin because we're born sinners. Are you understanding that? And God knew this. And so he knew there needed to be a substitution. This is why Jesus became the second Adam. Hallelujah. Listen to me. That first Adam, the blood of that first Adam, that is in our DNA. Every one of us from that point on that have been conceived. Amen. The moment that conception happens, amen, a sinner is created. But when Jesus, remember, amen, when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, when she found out that she had conceived Jesus, amen, and she greeted Elizabeth, her cousin, who was now, amen, 6 months into her pregnancy, amen, the Bible says that John left in his mother's womb because the Holy Ghost, amen, was in him. Why? Because in her womb was the presence of a sinless child. And this is why the Holy Spirit had to come down, amen, and conceive Jesus, because he was going to be that substitute Adam, that second Adam, whose blood, when it was shed, was going to be placed forever on the mercy seat, that we could be cleansed. And we can be redeemed and justified from the sin of Adam. So even though we are born a sinner, we don't have to sin. We're because Jesus has made a substitute sacrifice. I'm thankful for that today. So, the enemy will try to convince us that God is angry with us. Don't let him. Don't let him convince you of that. Amen. Both Elizabeth and Zacharias lived with a sorrow that they could not resolve on their own. Can I get a witness in this house? They lived with a sorrow that they could not resolve on their own. And one day, somebody say one day.
One day.
Oh, look at your neighbor and say one day.
One day.
Oh, I feel that in the spirit this morning. One day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the enemy is saying, one day. Come on. Are you hearing me? One day, while Zacharias was in the temple doing what he always did, suddenly he got up that day. Amen. Praise God. I would imagine that if he's anything, amen, like me or many others, I'm a very routine person. So when I get up, I usually do the same thing. Amen. Every day when I get up, I go through, I have a routine. That's why when that routine gets thrown off, I get thrown off. Amen. And sometimes it makes us unpleasant. Come on. Can I get a witness in the house? Hallelujah. Amen. But I would imagine that he got up, did all that he had to do. Amen. Bid Elizabeth goodbye. Maybe she went to the market. Maybe she was outside at the temple praying. I don't know. But as he went in, amen, to burn the incense at the time of the prayer offering, as he did every day, the Bible says that he looked, and on the side of the altar standing there was an angel. Amen. And he began to be afraid. He began to tremble. He began to be overcome with fear, justifiably so. But the angel told him, don't be afraid, because I've come to give you a message. Amen. You will have a son. Elizabeth shall bear. Notice the detail there. He didn't just say you will have have a son, but he said, Elizabeth will bear you a son. And he began to tell him all that this son was going to do, and said, his name shall be called John. He shall be John. And the Bible says, amen, that when that angel spoke this to Zacharias, amen, hallelujah, that he would pray. So he said, he will prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. But when he told him this, he said, how can I know this to be true? In other words, can I put that in Hebrew terms? There's truly no way. How could that happen? That's impossible. Amen. If I can put that in our language, he said, how can I know this to be true? In other words, how can this happen? That's pretty much impossible, because I am old. I am well stricken in my years. And Elizabeth is well stricken. But listen to what he said. He didn't talk about Elizabeth being barren, but he said, I myself am old and be past the age of being able to produce seed that would bring forth conception. Are you hearing me? So his question wasn't about Elizabeth's barrenness. It was about him personally being, amen, able to do that, to produce the seed. Can I tell you that many times the enemy will try to convince us that we do not have what others have in them, that it's impossible for us to produce the blessing and the sin produced in our lives because of an inadequacy or because of this. Many times it's because of our lack of seeing our worthiness, so we feel, amen, inadequate. But listen to me. Hallelujah. He said, how can I believe this? This really is impossible. Amen. Because I'm old and I'm past, amen, that years. Amen. So he struggled with the promise. He struggled to believe the promise. Has anybody ever been in that position when the Lord has spoken to you, when he even confirms, yet you struggle to believe the promise? And it could be because of an obstacle or something that you see that would be in the way, making it impossible. Hallelujah. But imagine wanting something for so many years. Imagine wanting something and then resolving that it's never going to happen due to the human impossibility. Are you with me? So it wasn't even a concern for Zacharias. The Bible doesn't tell us that it was even a concern for him. But I believe in knowing and seeing the narrative and hearing the words of the angel, amen, that there was a time when this was a concern in his life. And it would have been at the barrenness of Elizabeth, not knowing the cause, not knowing the purpose, but also knowing the remedy was impossible. But now getting to the age and the point where they resolve this is never going to happen, because it doesn't matter that she's barren. Now I'm past the age of being able to produce seed that will give life. Look at your neighbor and tell you there's seed in you. Come on, there's seed in you, and it will give life. Listen to me. I don't know who the Lord may be talking to on this Father's Day, but I want you to know your heavenly Father is aware of your situation. Amen. And listen, praise God. Serving and deciding that, you know what, this is never going to happen because it's humanly impossible. So naturally, he struggled to believe the promise. He was a faithful man. Everybody say faithful. Yet he faltered in that moment.
Well, help us, Lord.
He was faithful, and right in the midst of burning incense and waving the censer in the temple of the Lord, where the closeness with God could not have got any deeper. And an angel of the Lord is there telling you, but he faltered in that moment, even though he was faithful and blameless before heaven. Are you with me? We know this was something that he had prayed for in the past, because the angel said, your prayer has been answered. So we know that it was a concern for Zacharias. We know that he was concerned and that he prayed at one time for God. And no doubt he and Elizabeth together prayed for God to give them a son. Prayed for a child. And the angel said, amen, that your prayer has been answered. But obviously the expectation had expired. I've come this morning to talk to somebody who believes that the expectation has expired, that the expiration of the possibility of it coming to pass has expired. And maybe you've even resolved that it's never going to happen. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the salvation of a loved one. Maybe it's the deliverance of a child. Maybe it's the salvation of a spouse. Maybe it's, amen, a vision or a dream that God has given you. Maybe it is a struggle in your emotional health, your mental health, amen, your physical body, amen. Maybe it is just, amen, something that God has given to you personally. And you have got to the point to where the expectation has expired. But listen, I want you to listen to what the Lord did. We know, amen, that he became unable to speak until the child was born because of his unbelief. Amen. But that silence wasn't the end of his story. Oh, touch a neighbor and say, your story's not finished. Your story's not finished. See, the silence wasn't the end of his story. Listen, think about the mindset in Zacharias as he is there in the temple. And the last thing he said, amen, out of his mouth, before his voice was taken, before his speech was hindered, was, how can this happen? How can this happen? God said, I'm about to show you, Zechariah. I'm about to show you how this could happen. And then to hear, amen, the angels say, because you don't believe it, I'm going to take your voice. God's going to take your speech, amen, until the child is born. Until, amen, it shall be fulfilled in its season. Somebody hear me in this place. Verse 20 says, pull it back up for me, will you? Verse 20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb. Amen. That doesn't mean intelligence. That means deaf and dumb, was deaf and unable to speak, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. There is a season, amen, for things in our lives. Are you hearing me? Amen. And God has a timing and a sovereignty in that season. Again, I don't know who the Lord is talking to today. Amen. I could have preached on a lot of dads in the Bible. Amen. There's some Noah, praise God. There's Boaz, there's Joseph, there's Moses, there's Abraham, there's David. Come on, are you hearing me? There's Joseph. Amen. the husband of Mary. Amen. Are you hearing me? Praise God. But listen to me. This silence would not be the end of the story. It was kind of like mercy, although it seemed rather severe. Some people might think that's pretty harsh. That's pretty severe. Well, isn't God punishing him? Amen. It all depends on how you look at the promise. Come on, somebody. Amen. You would say, well, that seems like God is angry and punishing him. No, amen. The silence of his speech was really mercy. Oh, come on, somebody. Because in the quiet, now he had to sit with the promise of God. Oh, somebody help me. I want to say that again. In the quiet, can you imagine wanting to say something and not being able to say it? Nothing wrong with, amen, the thought process, but not being able to say it. Now, amen, for 40 weeks. And amen, 9 months, he had to sit with the promise. Touch your neighbor and say, keep sitting with the promise. Keep sitting with the promise. Oh, I feel that. Hallelujah. Somebody is going to feel something lift this morning before you leave. He imagined this. Look at the thing of this morning. Hallelujah. Can you imagine all the questions that he got for 9 months? What happened in that temple? Amen. Because the Bible says when he came out, the look on his face, amen, showed that something happened that never usually happened in the temple. Amen. And the Bible says they asked him because they were, amen, if you will, looking out there, well, at the time, like what's taking him so long. You know, like some of you do when I preach. You're like, what's taking him so long? Come on, bro, wrap it up. And you're thinking, I got to get to lunch. We usually only, this only usually lasts X amount of minutes. Amen. What's Zacharias doing in there? Why ain't he coming back out? And then when he finally came out, see, their prayer had ceased. They were done praying, and they were waiting. And when he come out, there was a look, obviously, on his face, like, I have just seen the Lord. And they said, amen. They said, ask him, amen, what happened in there? What happened in there? And he just went, go home. Or maybe he went.
Right.
Bible says he beckoned them. Maybe he was like. Think about that. Now you know they went home and talked about it. You know they went home. And they thought he just couldn't talk because he was overwhelmed. Come on, somebody. But think about whenever anyone would begin to ask him questions, he could not explain what had happened. He couldn't talk about it.
Some of us would explode
if we couldn't talk about it. 99.9% of us would explode if we couldn't talk about it. Matter of fact, some of us can't wait to talk about it. Let's just be real. We're all flesh here. We don't have to try to sin. It comes natural.
Right.
It's discipline to walk above it and beyond it and to say, no, that's not who I am. I am a new creation. See, I was created with the bloodline of Adam. I was created a sinner, but in Jesus, I am a new creation. I'm just hanging out here waiting for the final switch. Just hanging out here, amen, and worshiping, serving, living, amen, honoring until the final transition. My final redemption is real close. So hang out long enough, you're going to see, amen, the change. Will somebody help me in this place? But he couldn't explain what had happened. He couldn't speak over the mystery. You hear me? So all that he had was the promise of God. Now, the weight of the responsibility on this son, see, would have been like, hey, Luther's going to give you a son, and you're going to live to be, you know, X amount of years. You're going to get to see him grow up, and he's going to be such a blessing, and you're going to have grandchildren. So you've waited all this time. You're going to have a son. His name's going to be John, but he can't drink wine. He can't do this, and he can't do that. Because I've chosen him to prepare the way of the Lord. He's going to lead people into redemption. What a weight and responsibility on your child that you waited for and prayed for and then gave up and resolved the fact that it's humanly impossible. Now you've got this angel saying, guess what? Your wife's going to get pregnant. She might be 85 or 95, but she's going to have a baby. And it's going to be yours. Right? The impossibility. So he couldn't speak over the mystery. He had to wait, watch, and learn. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God, to wait, watch, and learn. God, that was mercy upon Zacharias. That was mercy upon him that God took his voice, his speech, because he could not speak over that mystery. And now he had to wait. Can you imagine when she came to him and she said it? Now, I don't know. I don't know if he even, the Bible doesn't tell us that he even told them. Imagine that. She's not that old, but she's beyond the years of childbearing. And in my book, my opinion, I'm beyond the years of providing that seed of life. But imagine they come along and tell them that, hey, the Lord told me today that we're going to have a baby. She doesn't go over well. She don't be like it. Who's your Lord? Well, he didn't tell me. And what she would naturally do is stay away from me. Right? So. My point is, who knows if he even told her? But imagine her realizing she was a child. And coming to Zechariah and said, I'm pregnant.
Zechariah.
Can't say a word. Nothing. But imagine what went through his mind. Come on, you analytical thinkers. I can tell you what would go through your mind. But realizing that moment that he realized that the Lord's word is greater than human impossibility. That moment. And maybe, I got to thinking, if you read that, look at that scripture, it says until these things shall be performed, that they shall be fulfilled in their season. Maybe he thought once she was pregnant, he would be able to talk. I thought
right.
That this morning. Who's to say what season? Now, we know that God meant till it was all fulfilled.
Right.
But who's to think that he thought maybe I can talk now? But then he watched her. Now I know how the enemy works, because once we get a glimpse, maybe I'm there. one of the maybe it's a, maybe I'm a minority in this, but once we get a glimpse that the possibility is coming to pass of what God has promised that looked impossible, then we start thinking about the what ifs. Well, what if she miscarries? What if this happens? Or what if she dies while having this baby? Or what if the baby is born malformed? Or what if there's a what if? Can I get an amen? And so now he still has to watch, wait, and learn. Continuing to be faithful and serve and fulfill the gift that was in him. But here's the thing. Here's what I got to thinking. Not only could he not talk about what he had heard, but now he couldn't speak words of doubt and uncertainty. Even if the thoughts were brought to his mind, he could not hear himself say it out loud. But scientifically, that's been proven. When you hear your voice say something enough times, you believe it. It's frequency. Your words carry frequency. Are you hearing me? And so now he couldn't speak words of doubt and uncertainty. No one else could return words with a negative response, amen, to impart fear into him, because you know there's always a Job's comforter in every crowd. Because most people are going to be like, it'll be all right. No, you can't think like that. You can't ever do it. But then you got that other one's like, bro, you know, you're talking right. What are you going to do if that happens? What is it that you're going to do? And then fear, right, begins to grow. Amen. So and not only could he not speak any words of doubt and uncertainty, it didn't give anybody else the opportunity to reciprocate, amen, and impart that fear. Amen. And so, so much so, I got to thinking, man, can you imagine day after day, week after week, month after month, as Elizabeth is now, amen, visibly with child, she is now visibly in the time, amen, has moved forward, the seasons have passed, amen, and now she is in labor, and now, amen, the Bible says that she indeed gave birth to John. Amen. And when he was born, what happened? Amen. The Bible says that they went to take him on the eighth day, which was the custom. They went to take him on the eighth day to be dedicated, amen, and to be given back to the Lord. And everyone in her family, their neighbors and their relatives were all overjoyed and overwhelmed, amen, that now Elizabeth in her old age and Zacharias have a baby boy. Oh, this is such a miracle, such a great thing. Amen. And the Bible says that when they were at that, amen, dedication, that the relatives wanted to name him Zacharias after his father. They wanted to name him, amen, after his father. Amen. And Elizabeth said, his name will be John. So we know somewhere, amen, that Zacharias, amen, communicated to her that his name must be John. Amen. So I believe that somewhere, amen, during the pregnancy, amen, he communicated to her what had happened. Amen. I'm not sure if he told her everything that the Lord said, but I can't imagine that he wouldn't. But she said, his name will be John. And the family members said, wait a minute, there's nobody in our family named John. You don't have any family members named John. And they went to Zacharias and they said, what do you want his name to be? And he took a writing tablet, a stone, if you will, a little chalkboard, amen, and a piece of chalk. And he wrote, his name is John, not will be, come on, in past tense, but his name is John. I come to tell somebody, God's got a name on your promise. Oh, hear me. Don't talk about it like it's past tense or it's not yet there. Are you understanding me? He said, his name is John. And at that moment, his speech returned. The season of fulfillment was up. When his voice returned, listen to me. This is what I want you to hear. When his voice returned, he didn't complain. He didn't say, man, I missed talking. But when his voice returned, his words, amen, weren't filled with pride or self-defense, but he praised God and prophesied of the mercy, the salvation, and the redemption that God was bringing to his people. His name is John. He wrote down and then he began to give God praise and glory. He began to tell them, and he's going to prepare the way of the Lord. Redemption, salvation, and hope are coming to God's people. Hallelujah. He didn't complain and grumble when he got his voice back. God, help us when we get the breakthrough. Amen. Do we still complain about the process, or do we rejoice and prophesy of the purpose of the process? The whole purpose of taking his feet wasn't punishment, but it was mercy and grace over the season of his promise until it was fulfilled. Remember, the people were praying outside the temple when he was visited by Gabriel. It was the prayer service. And no doubt, their prayers were filled with requests for God to come and to bring his promised kingdom. They were waiting for freedom from the Roman tyranny. Are you hearing me? That's what they thought. Jesus, amen, was coming to take the earthly throne and to take over the earthly kingdom at that moment. So imagine hearing those words and seeing this in real time. Now this could be a good lesson for fathers. So this Father's Day, you dads, you fathers, as a man, to believe and struggle at the same time, it's okay. As one who's leading, you could pray, you could serve, you could lead, but still wrestle with fear, doubt, and disappointment. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes. You can still wrestle with those delayed answers. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. For what seems like the lack of response when it's simply the season of the promise. It's not a lack. And if there is a denial, you have to see it as part of the promise, protecting the promise and not a punishment. You get that sometime later. Because a father's voice matters deeply. Because a father's voice can wound or heal. It can discourage or bless. It can complain or it can testify.
Oh, yeah.
Sure can. And men are called because of the place and responsibility that they have in not only the home, but in society. This is not putting women beneath at all. Don't be caught on me. But they're called to use their words with reverence in the home and in the church and in the next generation. Then we're called to use our words carefully with reverence. But this not only applies to the men and the fathers, this can also apply to men and women both, to all of us who are in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. Sometimes the most faithful thing you can do is to become quiet before God. Sometimes that's the most faithful thing we can do. When we get there in his presence, we tend to rattle off. And it's okay to talk to God. I talk to God just like I talk to you. It's not this, you know, some people have that sense and they miss the intimacy. That's a lot of the reason why they don't think God talks back to them. Because they don't see it as a conversation, but it is a duty and not a fellowship. But we tend to rattle off sometimes what we think. And I mean what we think needs to be done. We're doing that study on Thursday nights, and the author of that book, and we talked about this in our study, but the author of that book brought something to my attention that I never thought of before, and he talks about the scripture where it says, God knows our needs before we ask, but ask and we shall receive. That scripture has always been a little bit troubling, because one can say, well, if he knows what I need, why should I ask? And I've always said, because asking keeps you humble. But he presented a flip side of that and says, if we don't know what we need, why don't we ask God more? Ask him to tell us what we need, then ask for it. And if he knows what we need and we ask for it, he's going to supply it. Change my perspective. So I've been asking God, okay, God, what do I need right here in this situation? Instead of me, God, I don't know. God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't, you know what's happening. God, you see this. You said you know my different friends. But God, I'm asking you to supply life. Well, God, what do I need here? Give me wisdom. Direct me to what I need. Show me what I need, because I might be the one that needs to go to what I need instead of waiting you to bring to me what. We stand before open doors to anxious seekers because it's the best of there. It's on the earth. But anyway, I tried to the book. But we stand before an open door, and we're like, God, if you don't want me to go in this door, close it. Can I get a witness? And so we stand there, and we beg, and we pray, and we wait, and we fast, and we intercede, and we wait, and we wait, and the door stays open. When God wants us to say, God, do I need to close the door?
Yeah.
And he says, yes, guess what?
Amen.
Bye.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Or we stand before a closed door, thinking that on the other side of that is our blessing, and we say, God, if this is for me, open the door. Don't act like I ain't talking to you. I know I'm not the only one that talks to God. And we say, God, if you want me to go through the door, open the door. Give me a sign. Give me a witness. When God's saying, why don't you ask me if I want the door open? Okay. God, do you want this door open? Yes. See ya. Right?
Yeah.
How complicated that we've been making this relationship thing with God. But you know why we don't ask him? Because we don't believe he wants to talk to us in that way. So it's a relationship problem at its core. We don't see God wanting or willing to talk to us on such a simple level. Because it's going to be lightning and thunder and shaking and earthquake. But remember, Elijah was in a still, small voice. So sometimes we wait and we wait and we watch, but we don't learn. But Zacharias was waiting, watching, and learning. Are you hearing me? So we don't allow his presence to keep us from being overcome by the circumstances, because we go into his presence for a different reason. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you, this whole shift in my thinking, why it took me 6 decades to figure it out, I'm going to say, you know, five and a half decades, because, you know, when I was my first 10, 15 years, amen, I didn't care. But when I got saved when I was 15, right? Come on, amen. And I started comprehending, amen. But why has it taken me 46 years to figure out that God created me as his child? My perception was always I become his child when I was born again. But he created me as his child. So Jesus came to die, to live, die, resurrect, so that I could be brought back into the relationship as his child, as if I had never, ever sinned or messed up, amen. And Jesus will, the life and the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus will never be able to be removed. It will never be removed. So why do I let the enemy keep me stuck somewhere in the middle, like I am this disobedient, messed up, rejected, prodigal, amen, adopted child, when in fact, he takes me right into the presence of my Father Creator, and I am his child. Do you understand me today? And why it took me so long to grasp that. I don't know, but I'm glad that I got it.
Amen.
And I want you to get that, because I spent so many seasons and years sunk in this judgment, waiting for my punishment position with God, when all the while Jesus had made a way for me in his presence where I find healing, restoration, peace, and joy. It's there, and we hang there, and we feel deserving, and so we come into his presence. Here's the thing. We come into his presence most of the time to get right. Instead of knowing that we've been made right through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we come boldly into his presence. Come on, I'm telling you. Amen. Listen to me. And he doesn't want us. We don't have to fail or fall. And you say, well, why does God use me? Because he wants to. He don't need any of us to get the gospel out to the people. He wants to use us because we are his family. He wants to use us. I'll never understand it. And you'll never figure it out. But when you fall in love with the truth that he is your father. Period.
Amen, amen, amen.
Right.
Now, if you rebel and you reject, that's where you're going to end up. Bada bing, bada boom, judgment is coming. God is going to have to somewhere along the line render judgment. But judgment is mercy. Because on the flip side of that, right? Always on the flip side of judgment, there is redemption. Come on, God is faithful. So he had us in mind. So when we get into his presence, his presence will keep us from getting overcome by the circumstances. Are you hearing me? It doesn't move them. It doesn't change them. But it keeps them from overtaking us. Are you understanding this? So Zechariah's greatest joy wasn't really getting a son. Think on it. Think about it. But his greatest joy was seeing that his son would prepare the way for Jesus Christ. His son would prepare the way of the Lord. That was his greatest joy. It wasn't even the fact that he got a son. Because the timing was what mattered. 6 months in. Come on. We all know God's sovereign and God had all of this planned out. Now, an angel comes to Mary and says, you shall conceive a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, Jesus. And the Holy Ghost hovered over her, and she conceived through the sinless Word of God. Hear me? Through the sinless, holy, undefiled, righteous breath of God. No, not from the dust of the earth again, but God breathed in the womb of Mary, the very seed of Jehovah. Impregnated her. The timing was just right. When Zechariah, I don't know how old he was, maybe history says, I don't know, but let's just go with 90. 90 is a good age. It's a good age to be old, of having babies, right? It's not old, depending on how you look at it. Because, you know, I just met someone who's whose father-in-law lived to be 101. So 90 is not old when you're looking at someone who's 101. Gives you hope, though. Right? You don't have to give up. God can give you 11 more years, 12 more years. Seriously, thank God. But let's just say that, it was 90. God could have came to him when he was 80. Still 75. Still old for marrying seven children. 70, still old for marrying children. Are you getting my point? But it wasn't time for Jesus to come yet. So the timing. So my point is that even though their prayers were not answered and what they desired to have a child did not come to pass, and they had resolved that it was humanly impossible now, so they never even thought about it, they still remained faithful to God. So much so that God said they were blameless before him. So that's for you that are in the season of waiting for the promise, to encourage you that that there is no expiration on the expectation. Are you hearing me? Amen. They remained faithful despite the disappointment, choosing to trust the sovereignty of God while resolving that their prayer was not going to the answer. They could have been bitter. They could have been angry. They could have justified. They could have been, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to go serve and offer. I'm not going to do those priestly duties. Let somebody else do it. Are you hearing me? So sometimes surrendering your voice to God is the best way in finding your voice. Is to surrender it to God. God, you take it. You take my words. You have my prayers. God heard those prayers so that your words become praise, your testimony becomes hope, and your influence reflects mercy.
Yes, hallelujah. Amen.
So that finding your voice, because you know we all want to speak our minds. That's one thing that as my mom aged in her older years, she refrained from speaking her mind as often.
What?
Yeah, she should have seen her in her younger years. There's a lot of people that better be glad she had Jesus and that she spoke in tongues and didn't curse. Because boy, oh boy. So we all know people that don't ask them what they think if you don't want to know.
Right?
Right? Because others around you may not see or understand, and they will always have their thoughts and opinions. But if what comes out of your mouth is praise, your voice, what your voice says, will make the difference. God had to take his voice for him to find words of praise and joy. And I don't, because, you know, he had probably, after 9 months, I'm sure he still, you know, he wanted to talk, but I'm thinking after 9 months, you know, I can't say anything. And he couldn't talk. But imagine the strongholds that the enemy wanted to build in his mind. But when he saw Elizabeth, I'm assuming a midwife probably, handed him that baby boy, couldn't say anything. No words, but I'm sure the thoughts were praise God. And when he saw him, he saw redemption. He saw a way for victory to come to God's people. I don't know what your season looks like, but it shall be fulfilled in his season. I believe that God has sent me to preach about on this father, John's father, Zechariah, today to remind you that in due season, there will be a reaping if you think not. Let your voice be praised as they come to the music. To remind you that there's no expiration on your expectation. But maybe so much time has passed and you're not necessarily bitter or frustrated, but you just come to the conclusion that it's always going to be this way. It's never going to be any different. I've been there. I'm actually there in a situation in my life. And this time of year always brings me to that situation and the conditions that the enemy has placed on that situation. And I've resolved that it's never going to be any different. But I have a renewed hope today that there's no expiration on my expectation. And that years, don't matter, because God will see to it that all things are fulfilled according to his will in their season. So you gotta find your voice, that voice that speaks praise, that your testimony will be one of hope. That mercy will be your legacy. When you speak it to your children, fathers, and to your marriages, to your life, stand with me across this place. I brought you what the Lord has given me today. And as they're ready to worship, maybe you hear the name, you don't have that relationship with the Lord, maybe you don't know what that's like. I'll give you an invitation. I see it's just like that open door. You say, God, do I need Jesus? Yes, you do. Now walk through that door. Right? Walk through that door. The opportunity is here. So he said this morning, he's always on time. His sovereignty is precise. We may not understand it, and it may include pain. But can I tell you that there's pain and healing? Thank you. When you become wounded or broken, you have two choices. Heal or not heal. Two choices. When a bone is broken, what do they do when you go to the doctor? What do they do with that bone? They set it in place. Does it hurt? Of course it does. So there's pain and healing. We get wounded and broken, and we try to avoid the pain by not healing, but all we're doing is keeping the wound open and broken. Because we avoid pain, so we don't do it, but there's pain and healing. But healing will come. Nothing in this life is without pain. So it's going to bring pain. But God taking his speech as a punishment, it was mercy over the protection of promise. So we got to see what we feel is being withheld as protection. So if you're here today, you're in a season where you feel like your expectation has expired, or you're struggling in the process. Maybe you're hanging out in between Jesus, in between redemption and the presence of the Father. If you want prayer today, if you want to respond, we want you to come. We want to come with you. I say it again, worship.